Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Why Do You Call Me Lord, Lord? Right after this. You know, 3,000 years ago, before the science of meteorology was even thought of, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 7 that all of the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea isn't full. And unto the place from whence the rivers come thither, they return again. Now, every year, the continents and islands of this earth pour down into the oceans a stupendous volume of water. It's about 286,000 cubic miles of water flow into the oceans every year. Now, for century after century, millennium after millennium, this has been going on. And the sea has not increased its level by so much as an inch. Now, how is that possible? Well, we call it the circle or cycle of evaporation and precipitation. The writer of Ecclesiastes said that the ocean maintains its level in spite of this gigantic annual influx. And that's because the rivers go back to the place from whence they came. And indeed they do. Every drop of rain that falls climbs back upon the Creator's elevator of evaporation to form themselves into clouds and to ride back to the head of their toboggan slide to begin their journey all over again. Now, in the modern science of meteorology, all of this is clearly understood and its laws are comprehended. Modern science, then, has learned what the writer of Ecclesiastes knew 3,000 years ago. Now, that's just one more of the many examples of science in the Scripture. And it's one more of the many lessons in the Mosaic Law School that we conduct twice a year here at the Law School in Isabel, Missouri. For more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first. That's the place to start. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, that's georgegordon.org. Click on to the email, or better yet, click on to the archives machine. And you can download that free General Law CD package right off of our website on the archives page. So once more, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page and download it right there. Hey, we've been talking about why do you call Jesus Lord, Lord? The more we get into it, the more fun we have. I kind of enjoy going through the Scriptures and asking people, well, why would you want to call yourself a Democrat and send your money off to the Republican Central Committee? It wouldn't make any sense. It's kind of stupid. You know, when we want to support a group or an organization, a church or something like that, it's because we believe in it. We have confidence in that person or that institution or organization. You pay taxes to your government. You have confidence in your government and what they're doing with your money. I mean, you'd really feel bummed out and put out of place here, wouldn't you, if you found out that your government was taking your money? And that they were spending that money in ways that you didn't approve of, that you didn't support, that you thought were counter to your best interests? Well, wouldn't that kind of bum you out? I know political people, they vote every election cycle based upon how they believe their representatives, how the people that they placed their trust in the last election have performed. And so it would seem logical to me that people would do the same thing about the Scripture. And Jesus was surprised. Well, he appears to be, because he asks this question in Luke 6:46. He says, now, I hear you people down there praying to me, and I hear you saying, oh, Jesus, do you know Jesus? And Lord, Lord, I hear all that. But he asks the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then do not those things which I say? So I thought, well, we should look at what Jesus said and then ask ourselves, well, why don't we believe what he believed? But let me give you an illustration. In Matthew 24, verse 36, here's Jesus now, and he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus then must have been familiar with Noah's flood story. He cited it. And then, remember, we took a look at this earlier. In Matthew 4, verse 4, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And remember, he said that before any of the New Testament had ever been written. And I pointed out to you the other day, when the Pharisees came up to him and said, well, we'd like you to do a miracle for us or give us a sign. so that we can determine whether or not you're the Messiah. He said, no sign's going to be given to you, save for one. There's one sign. After you kill me, I'm going to be in the ground for 3 days and three nights, and then I'm going to rise from the dead. And he said, that's what happened to Jonah. That was a sign. That was a miracle. And it occurred, and he evidently believed in it. He cited it. Now, I asked you the other day, I said, surely you don't believe in that Jonah and the whale fairy tale, do you? And most people would say, well, no, I don't. That's why I'm asking, well, why do you believe in the Bible at all? Why would you believe any of a book that you believe has so many scientific and so many historical errors in it? Well, errors, hell, they're just plain lies. Here's Jesus himself saying, hey, do you know about Noah and Noah's flood? Now, I know what the evolution guys are telling you, that this flood never occurred, that it's just fiction. And then the religious guys, they come along and say, well, see, they don't know how to answer that. They haven't seen Kent Hovind, and they haven't seen the numbers on the floodwaters. They haven't seen the numbers on the Grand Canyon. They don't know what the elevation of the water coming in is. They don't know what the elevation of the water going out is. They don't know what the Kanab uplift, or what they call that. There's a name for that uplift there. Kaibab or something like that uplift. They don't know that that's 5,000 feet, and they obviously don't know that water doesn't run uphill. And they can't explain the Grand Canyon. So the evolution guy comes along, he explains it and says, here's what's going on today. All we have to do is count back, and this will tell you how long this process has been going on. And they can't answer the question. So it isn't any wonder that religious people don't believe the Bible, because they're told in their public schools that the Bible is trash. Don't believe it. Then they go to church, and then the Bible guy, he can't defend it. So he says, well, just ignoring that, let's go on to faith and love and sweet Jesus. That's all they know about. Well, there's a lot more to this than that. So let's take a look at a similar story here as it deals with this thing of the length of the flood, because religious people believe that the flood was local. Let me read you the story. It's in Genesis chapter 7. Just takes about 5 minutes to read it. Listen to this. And the Eternal said to Noah, he says, come you and all of your house into the ark, for you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls, also of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now let me just ask you, we're assuming that you're not religious, that you're just a plumber, carpenter, electrician. Listen to these words again. He said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Does that sound like a flood in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley of Iraq? Every living substance from off the face of the earth? I didn't write that. I'm just reading it. All right, let's take a look at another one here. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600 years old. Surely you don't believe that a man could live to be 600 years old, do you? Come on. You don't know of anybody that's 600 years old today, do you? Now, I don't know of anybody that's 600 years old, but I'm not sure that 600 years is impossible. We haven't come to that conclusion yet, have we? Nobody believes it. Of course, the evolution guys, they come along and they say, well, we don't believe that. We think that that's just fiction. Then the religious guy, he can't come along and explain to you, well, how could people live to be 600 years old? Karl Baugh can do it in a heartbeat. Karl Baugh, down at the Creation Evidences Museum, he said, well, here's the science behind that. Here's why people could live to be 600, 700, 800, 900 years old. It's because they weren't being bombarded with the radiation that we are being bombarded with today. It's because those people had good nutrition. We don't have it today. Yep, there are scientific reasons and scientific answers from the Scripture that answers that. But you won't get that from a pulpit parrot next Sunday in church. Hell, they haven't got a clue. And if they do, I haven't met one yet. Now he goes on, he says a little bit more here about the story. He says, Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creeps upon the earth. There went in two and two into the ark, and male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now verse 11 tells us a little more. It says, now in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all of the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now it gives you the date of the flood. Have you ever been to church and had a preacher say, now the flood began on this date? It was in the third month on the 17th day of the year 2370 BC, and it lasted 375 days. That's 1 year and 10 days, and ended in the third month on the 27th day of 2369 BC, exactly 1 year and 10 days later. Have you ever heard an evolutionist come along and say, hey, let me give you the dates now when this evolutionary phenomenon occurred? They tell you in vague terms like millions and millions of years ago. Okay. Why wasn't it 3,387,442 years, 9 days ago? The guy that wrote this book is able to put the dates in. Now, I hear people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sitting here asking the question, why not? What evidence do you have that this flood began in some other month other than the third month of the year? What evidence do you have that this flood did not begin on the 17th day of that month? What evidence do you have that this flood did not occur in 2370 BC? I'm familiar with the fact that you have theories and hypotheses, and you don't know. Here's a guy that says, I know, and I know what day of the month it occurred. And I think if we put our minds to it, we could figure out what day of the week it occurred. Got the dates here. Now, I haven't gone so far as to figure out whether this started on a Wednesday or a Thursday, but it's in the third month, and it tells you that very plainly here. Now, it tells you what he took in. It was in the second month. I said third month. It's in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Remember, Abib is the first month, and then there's a second month that comes in. Now, you people are going to say, well, that must have been in February. No. The first month of the year begins in April, so the second month would be what we call May today. May. So it was in the spring of the year when this thing occurred. It lasted for 370 days. You've got an eyewitness here who wrote it and wrote it down and said, let me tell you what the story is. Now I know somebody's going to say, wait. Noah didn't write that. Then Moses wrote that. Moses wrote it thousands of years later. Moses did not write this story, and neither did Noah. The scripture plainly says here, boys and girls, let me read it to you. It says, the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God cannot lie. No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I didn't write that. I'm just here telling you that that's what he said. He said, Noah didn't write it, and neither did Moses. I wrote it. Moses was my secretary. Now, you know, I was in court the other day. Well, not court, I was in a deposition. And a question came up concerning the material that we put on our website. And the guy said to my boy, who does our computer work here at Dirk, he said, did you write this? And my boy looked at it, and he said, no, I didn't. He said, well, do you know who did write this? And he said, yeah, I think it was my mother. A little while later, he was asking my wife, and he said, who wrote this? And then she said, well, I did. And then when he came to me and said, well, did you write this? I said, no, I didn't write this. Well, who did write it? I said, Dirk wrote it. And he was kind of surprised. And he said, well, wait a minute, Dirk wrote it. And I thought Dirk said that his mother wrote it. Now you're sitting here saying, no, Dirk wrote it. That's exactly right. See, my wife wrote that down, and she gave it to me, and I approved it. And I handed it to Dirk, and he typed it into the computer and put it up on the Internet. And you want to know something? Dirk didn't put that up on the Internet. Somebody else did that. But do you know that every word that you read on there came from me? I approved that. That's what we're looking at here in the scripture. Here's the creator of the universe. He comes along and he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm responsible for every damn word you're reading here. Watch my lips. I got that from George Bush. Do you remember that? Watch my lips, George. I like that. That's a good line. You never could depend on old George. What you were watching today wasn't necessarily what you're going to hear tomorrow. But let me show you what happens here. In the very last book of the scripture, it's Revelation. This same guy that we're talking about, he had something to say about what he said. And he wrote in just a couple of verses here. He said in the very last chapter, very last few verses, he said, I'm going to testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, that's pretty heavy duty, I'd say. So I like to be kind of careful about adding anything to this or taking anything away. Now, preachers aren't. See, you can read a plain statement here in the scripture, and the preacher will say, oh, no, it doesn't mean that. And here's what that means. See, I've been to seminary, and I can tell you, here's what that means. Let me translate that for you. Hell, this thing's already been translated here, boys and girls. It says here, in the 600th year of Noah's life, Now, you can sit there and say, I don't believe anybody could live to be 600 years old. That's fine. And I'm just here telling you that that's what the scripture says. I've never met anybody that believed that. And Christians, they make excuses for all of these bad science statements, all of these mistakes that God made, constantly making excuses for God. He keeps making mistakes. So I got to just come forward here and say, well, I'm not sure that God made any mistakes. He said he took full responsibility for what's written. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He evidently believed in Noah's flood. He never criticized or said, oh, but except those lies that are contained by Moses when he said Noah was 600 years old. So again, you know, Jesus is on solid ground when he says, hey, you Christians out there, how come you guys are calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't believe what I'm telling you? You believe the scientists, you believe the evolutionists, you believe the public school teachers, you believe the politicians, the bankers, the lawyers, every damn fool that lies to you, you believe every word of it. Then they turn around, they confiscate your houses, they lie to you and steal your tax money. And then you believe them when they tell you there's green shoots and the economy is going to recover after I've already told you I'm going to bury all of you. I don't know, guys. I'm just telling you the story. I just thought I'd remind you that your creator over here is asking you, how come you're calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you? There's a little more to the story. Now, in the selfsame day, entered Noah and Shem, Ham, Japheth, and son, and wives, and children. Well, I didn't have any children yet, but they had their wives with them. And they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing and creeping that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird after its sort. And they went in unto Noah in the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. So if you were wondering, well, how long did that flood last? A week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? The answer is 40 days. And then what happened? Well, the waters prevailed, and they were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Whole heaven? Let's look at the word whole. You people down in Australia, look up. That's called heaven. You guys are not looking at the heaven over Iowa. You're just looking at the heaven over Queensland or Victoria. Now, you guys over in France, look up. You're not seeing the heaven. You're not seeing the whole heaven. You're only seeing what's over France. You didn't see the heaven over Brazil or Argentina. Now, that sounds like that's pretty all-encompassing to me. Every time I hear you religious guys out here telling me about this local flood, I'm not sitting here telling you that you have to believe in a worldwide flood. I would simply suggest, can you people read? Are you people brain dead? I heard what your preacher told you when he explained to you that the flood was local and not worldwide. I'm just asking you, can you people read? Have you got any savvy? Are you suffering from the terminal stupids? I know you may not like to believe it, but I didn't come here to persuade you. I just came here to jog your memory a little bit. When I look at the word whole heaven, it seems like to me that covers quite a big piece of real estate. Or as they say down here in the Ozarks, say that's a fur piece. So he goes on a little bit further over here, and he says the waters prevailed. They increased greatly upon the earth. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Well, if this water covered the whole heaven, that is, the whole earth under the whole heaven, and covered the mountain on top of the ground, and the whole heaven, my God, that covered the Amazon basin and the Mississippi Delta and the Indus River, didn't it? You people don't believe that for a minute, do you? Which is, again, why Jesus is asking you, hey, how come you guys are using my name in vain, calling me Lord, Lord? You don't believe what I tell you. I send you to school. I buy you books. You eat the covers. You don't learn nothing. He had a little bit more to say here. He says, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Have you ever heard of a flood lasting 150 days? Yeah, we had one here in the Mississippi, here just 1993. It lasted for about 150 days. That was a long flood. Didn't affect the Sacramento Valley at all. Didn't do anything, you know, to the Klamath River. Didn't do anything to the Amazon. But it sure lasted for a long time. That was a local flood. We see those all the time, and we can understand that local flood. But boys and girls, this worldwide flood only occurred once, and God said he wasn't going to do that to us again. So don't be surprised that you haven't seen one in your lifetime, because the last time that this happened, there weren't very many survivors. Now that's chapter 7. I just thought I'd throw that one out, 1 through 24. That's called a worldwide flood. That's universal. That sounds like God of all. He said he killed every animal outside that ark. They all died. Now today, if you want to test that, you go out here, you look at fossil records. Now, let me show you about a fossil. When you kill an animal out here and it dies, and we've got a lot of bones scattered around in our forest. I've been here about 25, 30 years, and animals die. And I can remember, I can go down in the woods right now and show you a carcass of an animal. It won't be a carcass, it'll be a skeleton. And I can tell you, well, that's the black bitch. That's old May, the dairy cow. She died on the hillside. She laid down and got her legs uphill, and she suffocated herself. And I drug her down here, and there she is to this day. But she's not a fossil. And she's been there for about 15 years. And the bones are deteriorating. Just laying on top of the ground, the animals come by and chew them. And then over time, the elements, the heat and the cold, they're deteriorating. There's not as many bones. The whole skeleton isn't there anymore. The big bones are there, the skull, the pelvis, the rib cage, spinal. But there's a lot of bones that are missing. The hooves are all gone. All the small bones are gone. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen in my lifetime, but I can predict that over time, May, the old black jersey, is going to just be disappeared, gone. Now, when we look at the fossil record, we find the whole skeleton buried in thousands of them, just heaps. You know, you go out here to Utah, and you go out to Zion Park, and you go into some of these places, and that's the evidence that these animals were killed and buried in the mud suddenly, and then they fossilized there. That takes a lot of water. They were buried. It was a flood. Now, the evolution guy comes along. He says, oh, yeah, we admit that. There was water that did that. But here's the way that happened. See, over millions of years, the continents rise up and they sink down. They rise up and sink down. All right, kids, when was the last time you saw North America sink under the ocean? When was the last time you saw South America rise up out of the ocean? I mean, come on here, kids. Let's wake up and smell the coffee. In order for us to have fossils, we have to have a sudden burial. That's what happens in a flood, local or worldwide. So here's God comes along and says, okay, now here's the scientific explanation for all these fossils that you're looking at. It is true. They were buried. They were buried in a worldwide flood. We call it Noah's flood. It lasted for a whole year. It was catastrophic. It's catastrophism at its best. And there's a whole written story here in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. Gives you all the details to it. Then we can go out in the field and we can actually see, hear, taste, touch, and smell the evidence of what happened. And it corroborates perfectly. What we're looking at in the Grand Canyon is the evidence of a worldwide flood. What you're looking at when you go to Zion National Park and you go into the visitor center and they show you all of those skeletons and all those fossils, that's the evidence of the worldwide flood. It's right there by the millions of tons, right there in front of your eyeballs. And the preacher over here, who should be defending the scripture and defending Jesus and saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got the answer. Here's the story in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, and there's the evidence in Zion Park. No, he shuts up and he says, well, yeah, God must have spent millions of years creating this through evolution. No, he didn't. He told you that he created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. He told you that this flood and this damage that you're witnessing out here, the destruction of the dinosaurs and their bodies and all of these fossils, was accomplished in 375 days. Now, that's what he told you. Now, you don't believe him, and he simply asked you the question, well, then, if you don't believe me, why are you calling me Lord, Lord? Christian? Huh? Pilgrim? All right, now I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 67. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine or mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back halfway through the program. Let me take another subject over here now that we're through with the flood. There's a story here in Genesis chapter 5 that religious people don't believe. I thought I'd pass it on to you. Let's see what God has to say about this. And keeping in mind, Jesus wrote this. He's the guy that is the author of the 39 books of the Old Testament, and he's the guy that said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, that may be a false story, and maybe you shouldn't. I just wanted to point out that that's what he said, and that the religious people that claim to be his followers don't believe him either. So it isn't just the irreligious, the scientists, or the evolutionists, or the communists that don't believe Jesus. Hell, his own followers don't believe him. They think he's a liar. They think he's a fraud. They think he's a cheat. And so it's nothing new here. I just thought I'd come along and point that out because he pointed it out. He said, hey, you guys, you're calling me sweet Jesus and you're running around here proselytizing all the time, but you don't believe what I tell you and you don't believe what I say. And you don't do what I tell you. Why are you doing that? Hey, I think that's a good question. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, there's a genealogy story that goes on here. Now, most people, they get kind of bummed out and bored, you know, when they read genealogy. I didn't think this was so boring. I thought it was pretty interesting reading. He's talking about the children of Adam through his son Seth. Now, Adam has three sons that are mentioned, Cain, Abel, and Seth. And the scripture says he had daughters. Well, daughters are plural. So that's two, at least. So he had three sons that we know of, at least two daughters. So he and Eve had five children, minimum five. One of them was killed, so the four of them survived. Adam had four surviving children. Now, one of the children, Seth, who was born after the death of Abel, had some children. And these are the descendants of this third son, Seth, born to Adam and Eve. And it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. That's quite a little statement. It says, now, he made men to look like God. So when you're looking at God, he does not have flippers or fins, and he doesn't have scales. He's got two eyes, not one or six. He's got two ears. He's got a face. He's got hair. He's got fingers on two arms with two hands, two legs, two feet, one nose with two nostrils, centered right in the middle of his face between his two eyes. How do I know that? Well, because that's what he just told us. I mean, can you read? Are you suffering from the terminal stupids? So in verse 2, he says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and then he begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, Adam was 130 years old when this third boy was born. We don't know how old he was when Cain was born, or how old he was when Abel was born, but we do know he was 130 when Seth was born. He might have had these two daughters, and I say two. If he was 130, then he had his third boy born when he was 130, and we see that Noah was having children at age 600, then we could kind of extrapolate that, well, Adam must have been having children between 130 and 600. Wasn't that about 470 years? Now, let's suppose that Adam and Eve just had one child every 5 years for 470 years. Well, let's take 470, and then let's divide that by 5. Wouldn't they then have 94 children? Now, I had 5 children, and they were born over a period of 11 years. Now, it wouldn't seem too preposterous to me We were turning them out every 2 years, and I'm pretty sure that Adam and Eve probably could have turned them out about every 2 or 3 years if he'd put his mind to it, but it seems like every 5 years wouldn't be stretching it too far, would it? Now, I don't know that Adam and Eve had 94 children, but I do know that they had at least five, because that's what the Scripture tells us. Now, the Scripture goes on to give you the genealogy of them. It says, now, verse 4, the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, sons, plural, and daughters after he begat Seth. Oh, well, wait a minute. Now, let's think about that one. Now, we know that he had Cain and Abel first, and then Seth was third. Then he had more sons, plural, and more daughters. So he had to have had at least two more sons, which would have made five sons, and at least two daughters, which would have made seven. Adam and Eve had at least seven children. How do I know that? Well, I'm just reading the story here. And the Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction from a God that can't lie. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I didn't make this up. I'm just reporting it to you. So I got to thinking about that a little bit, and I said, well, now the guy lived to be 130 years old, and then he had sons and daughters, and then he lived 800 more years. That's 930. Adam lived to be 930. It doesn't tell us how old Eve was when she died. I'm presuming that because women today live about the same length of time as men, they tell us that women generally have a little bit longer lifespan than do men. You know, it's a little longer. But roughly speaking, we're all going to live to be about 75 or 80 years old, round numbers, on average. I turned out five. Doesn't seem too preposterous to me that Adam could turn out seven. And here's the point I'm making. The population of the earth, if it was at 2.6% in the 1,656 years between the creation of Adam and the flood, the population of the earth would have been 2.5 billion people at 2.6. But seven is more than 2.6. Furthermore, it would seem like to me that 94 wouldn't be too unreasonable. And then assuming that after 600 years of age, they didn't produce anymore. Now, Noah had children at 600. We presume at some point in time you ladies out there won't have children. I don't know if you could have them at 900, 800, 700 years old. But, you know, we know that 600 was in the ballpark. We know that 130 was in the ballpark. And that between 130 and 600 is 470 years. Can you count these numbers up? None of you people believe this, whether you're religious or irreligious. You know, when you read this, you say, oh, that's nonsense. I don't believe that. So I got to ask, well, why not? It's in the report. It was reported by Jesus Christ himself. He said, I'm the God that cannot lie. But I'm telling you, now Christians believe that he's a liar when they say, well, I don't believe that. I think that was written down by just a bunch of men over here, and they didn't know. Excuse me, let me refer you again to all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that? No. Nobody believes that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the secular people don't believe it at all, period, and the religious people believe it was written by a bunch of dummies that didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Again, that's their opinion, and they're certainly welcome to it, but there's a third opinion out here. And the third opinion is the Scripture itself. That's why I brought this to your attention. And that's why Jesus brought it to your attention. He said, why are you people calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't believe anything I tell you? So I thought, well, let's take a look at all these things that you people don't believe. I mean, I've showed you enough already to prove to you conclusively that this Jesus guy, if he isn't telling you the truth, is the damnedest liar God ever put breath into. But I'm not sure that this guy's lying to us. What evidence do we have that Adam did not produce a son at age 130? Did you think it was at 129 or 136 and that God lied to you? Did you think that it's impossible? He couldn't have had children at 130. Men living today can't have children at 130. I don't know. There was some old guy, some movie star. He was 84 and he was still cranking them out. He used to play, what was his name? Started with a Q. What was this guy's name? Starts with a Q and he used to play pirates a lot, you know, in the movies. Old-timey movie actor. He had a kid when he was 84. Well, that's pretty old, you know, for this time and age, but I'm pointing out here that Seth lived after he begat Enos 800 years in 7 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and then he died. Enos lived 90 years, he begat Canaan. Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and then he died. Canaan lived 75 years, begat Mahalalel. You know, it tells you that these guys were having children at around 75. One of them starts off here at 65. And he's having children and so on. Then he dies at age 900. I don't know how long they were fertile. I can't tell you that. But we know that they were fertile at age 130. They were fertile at age 600. Noah had three sons when he was 600. So this gives us some indications. He tells us a part of the story. You know, these people were having children from age 65 to 600. Well, how many years is that? 600. And segue 75. It's 525 years divided by 5 years. Every 5 years, we'll have a kid. That's 105. Every one of these guys could have had 105 offspring, raising them up. Each one of those offspring could have 105. My God, there could have been tens of billions of people by the time of the flood. Tens of billions. I wouldn't go so far as to say hundreds, but, you know, we're talking about 7 billion people in the world today with a birth rate of 3.5%. Hell, these people had a birth rate in the hundreds of percent. Just reading the story here. Do you believe that? See, the evolutionary guys, they're telling us, oh, no, no, that isn't the way this happened. See, there was this intermediate species over here, and he gave rise to the first human, and we started off. And from the first human until today, we've started from 2, and now there's 7 billion. Boys and girls, I'm not sure we can count. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Populations double every so many years. At 2.6%, which is what the birth rate of the United States of America is today, the population doubles every 27 years. 2.6%. Now, you know, populations, you know, grow and grow and grow. They grow exponentially. If the population doubles every 50 years even, you know, it goes 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. Now, you go back here hundreds of thousands of years to the first human. Boy, they were sure propagating pretty slow, weren't they? Now, in the meantime, we've seen species die out. They tell us Neanderthals died out and these and that and another thing. Hey, listen, here's what happened. There were different families on the earth, and when the flood came, it wiped them out. After the flood, some of these people descended from Noah were returning back to the Stone Age and living in caves, just like they do today in New Guinea, with bones in their nose. Savages. Boys and girls, savages live at the same time people are flying out into space. So don't be surprised when you look through the anthropology of man and you find out that, hey, we've got people who were Stone Age people living contemporaneously with people that had technology. They're living side by side today. They always have. There's always been dummies living in caves, and there's always been smart people driving around in Mercedes. We call those Jews. So he goes on through chapter 5 over here, and he talks about Lamech. And Noah lived 500 years, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Oh, I'll take that back. I said he was 600 years old. He was only 500 years old when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We see that in verse 32. And then when he was 600 years old was the flood. So now between 500 years and 120 years, they're going to be working on building this ark. Here's my point. You don't believe that these people live that long, do you? I don't know why Jesus said they did. And then I ask you why you didn't believe him. Jesus cited Noah in Matthew 24. You don't believe in Noah's flood. Jesus said it was true. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, if I came along and gave you this report, you might have some doubts. I'm not giving you the report. I'm simply reciting the report that's already been written. This guy already wrote the report out. All I did was come along and say, hey, did you see chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 1? Did you believe the report that you got? No, we don't believe a word of it. So I thought I'd ask the question, how come? What seems to be the problem here? Now, when we take a look at things like scientific things like Daniel, do you know that Daniel in the lion's den is a scientific question? And that's because the lions broke all of the bones that Daniel's enemies had. Lions don't do that. Jackals do. There are animals that break bones and then eat the marrow out of them, but lions aren't one of them. Sometimes when we read some of these stories here in the scripture, the critics come along and they say, well, that's a lie, and that's because lions don't do that. Have lions always not done that? Do we know what lions were doing and what their habits were 2,000, 3,000 years ago? Because I don't. And I'm not really sure that these experts, I'm always assured when I watch Noah that these are experts, and they know. And I got to ask, well, how did you know that? And they say, well, because we think and we hypothesize. Did you get that from the scripture? Well, no, we didn't get it from the scripture, but because we don't believe in the scripture anyway. I go, well, why not? Well, because that's a fairy tale. Now, boys and girls, somebody's telling us a fairy tale, all right, and I don't deny that. But I think that if we take a look at the scripture and we apply the Kwok Ting test, we apply the rules of evidence, we apply the ancient documents rule, and we look at it and we test it We test the numbers. When you test these numbers here in the scripture, they bear out. When you test the numbers from evolutionary philosophy, they don't add up. I've showed you that time and time again. They simply don't add up. Let me show you another one. If we were to take a look here after the sun is shrinking, remember Niagara Falls? This famous waterfall called Niagara Falls, it's a magnificent example of a geologic clock that reveals a very young Earth because the rim of the falls is wearing away at a known rate every year. Geologists recognize that this has only taken about 5,000 years to erode from its original precipice. I think it's eroding back 3 feet a year. I was up there at Niagara Falls one time, read the placard, and I was surprised. I didn't know that 3 feet a year, I didn't know that thing was wearing away that fast. And so they pointed out, well, this thing, you go down the river over here, and here's where the original precipice was. Well, if it's wearing back at 3 feet a year, 3 times 365 is 1,000 feet a year, times 4,000 years would be about 4,300, and, well, let me see if I got that right, 3 feet a year. Well, suffice it to say, without trying to do the arithmetic in my last few seconds here, which I probably won't be able to do, that you can see that this thing has been here for less than 5,000 years. Less than 5,000, even if you use the theory of evolution and you say, okay, this thing is less than 1 million years old. My God, if that thing had been wearing away by uniformitarian geology standards for the last 1 million years, that thing would have had to have been sticking over somewhere in Iowa, maybe even California. Now, that's what the bottom line of that story is. So let's bear in mind here that when we put the numbers together, we ask the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I tell you? Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.